The FA Exco met and reviewed his report on Wednesday, but they've not made a decision on his future. Muftar Nabil Abdullah has been picking up the latest from that Exco meeting. Why haven't they reached a decision? Who is for, who is against keeping him? Who are they consulting before making a decision? Is it all about money and the severance package, or are there also other issues? Perhaps they think that he's good enough. Maybe some other factor just worked against him, so they are considering keeping him. We'll get into those. And then, of course, today we will dedicate some time to talk about Manchester City's problems. And, you know, because every time we come here, we try to get into it. Black Stars issues just come and cross it. But it's very unusual that Pep Guardiola is going through what, in fact, it's never happened in his career where he's gone 6 matches without a win. 5 of them ending in defeat. The worst of them happened in midweek, where they gave away a 3-goal lead to Feyenoord to draw 3-0 in the Champions League. It's never happened before. So that's what we'll be talking about as far as the show is concerned. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how Pep Guardiola digs himself out of what looks like a very, very deep hole indeed. So that's coming up on the show. And then Kylian Mbappe as well. He's struggling, like, big time, big time. He's struggling big time. I'm not exactly sure why. He went for big money, but it's not working. Why is it not working for Kylian Mbappe? So we've got a lot to cover today on the show. Finally brought to you by Patreon Soul Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams and Betway. It's live and interactive. It's streaming on X Spaces. That's on Twitter. You can listen to us there. You can also watch us on YouTube and on Facebook on the Joy99.7 handles on those platforms. You want to get in touch with us? There are several ways. WhatsApp is one way. You can reach us. Send us a message, 055-111-1997. Your thoughts on all the things we'll be talking about here are welcome on that number, 055-111-1997. You can also leave me a message on X, use the hashtag GamePlan. I'll retweet it, share with the rest of our listeners and viewers from across the globe. The guys are in studio. Sitio Fair, Philip Achrim is here. Donny K. I'm already even scared to mention the next name because I have no idea what.
What you don't know?
This guy is Muftar Nabil Abdullah is here as well. Oh God, God, is he okay? Is he okay?
I'm like, it's again.
Muftar Nabil Abdullah is here.
In the kind of commentator.
Which one?
Oh, the one that says that.
It's Shatriman versus Hearts of Oak.
Cristiano Ronaldo's celebration has been done. And the celebration is.
Why are you telling the story for him? The guy wants.
No, wait. I want to say that Siam myself. Why? He says, yours is Siu, isn't it? Where is Siam?
Are you.
The way he's so hyper this afternoon, that's why I have to ask if he's okay. Yeah, are you Muftar? Is everything okay?
I'm the one who's talking about the scenario. You're telling me the person who brought the subject that what like you know you're telling
yours
me
is, that. Yours is you.
What is you?
I'm talking hold on, about
hold on. Which one is you? That's not even the Ronaldo one. That's not even what is you? Oh no, Villa Abdullah. Oh God.
It's okay. The way you all laugh, you know, good.
Yes.
Good.
Listen, we've got a lot to cover today on the show. We will go through every single one of those topics. But first, I will need to do this. We will take this very short break, come back here, and zoom straight into talking about our big issues. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM and Hits 103.9 FM.
Ani, KFC Asobumu, any the new mash gravy.
And your 20 Ghana CDC pill.
Creamy mashed potatoes. You're smoothing it in rich savory gravy. And your Dianya Betin, your Dinia Bribia. But you will new mash and gravy. And will KFC restaurant. Quality, taste, and value. Here's the world. Famous gravy. Only at KFC.
Are you ready to get way more chances to win with Betway? Every single day, you have the key to unlock 5 free spins on Mega Money Wheel, where you stand to win a massive 1 million Ghana Cedis jackpot. All you need to do is to log in and take your spin. Exclusive to Betway. Terms and conditions apply. Regulated by the Gaming Commission of Ghana. Bet the responsible way. Betway. Get way more.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricant. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricant, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound? Petrosol. Clean fuel in full quantity.
Welcome back. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, hits 103.9 FM. And like I said, what's happening? Okay. All right. So, like I said, today on the show as well, we've got a lot of questions, and so we will get answers for you. A lot of those answers will come from the people at the FA, beginning with the Black Queens, like I indicated. And so that is a very important conversation, because how do we always find the money for others? But when it comes to others, we don't seem to be able to find the money. Henry Asante Chuma has joined us in studio to give us answers to a lot of questions that we have. Henry, how are you? Welcome. Welcome to the show. The way you just bumped into the studio. Like, if I knock, call, make a signal to come in.
If I can't hear, make a knock, call.
Yes.
No.
Because
you are going to your father's house. You can walk in anytime.
So okay.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say your children's house.
Daniel, my children? No, maybe my brothers.
Okay.
Sicho is a married man, so I can't call him.
But how have you
Daniel
been?
Daniel is married. You are married.
Yes.
I don't know about
Muftau is married.
I don't know about Mufti.
He's married.
Oh, Muftau.
I know he has a son, but
Muftau has
the rest. I don't know.
Muftau has 3 children.
Okay. I have sons.
Yes.
I know one.
But I've met one.
I know the one who is always holding his hand.
Yeah. I have warned Muftau. I told him after the third born, I said, please, Ghana is full.
Ghana is full. How many do you have?
One. Danike no born yet. Sicho no born yet. Ghana is full.
No, the point is that
hello.
Relax, Arikam. The point is that with only 3 boys in the house, Charlie is danger. I need to neutralize him with a woman.
But you see, he's one of those men. He'll keep giving birth to you.
The boys will keep coming. Like, the woman will come. He reached something. The woman will come. He's going to get some. I love him. Say, this one's here. Then another boy will come.
The last one.
Got that. Another boy.
Before you realize, he made 12. Harry, welcome to the show. Listen, how have you been? The last few days have been, I assume, quite chaotic in your end. Obviously, we're not going to the AFCON. Thanks to the FA, their coach, and their Black Stars. Thanks to you people. So, listen, we are not exactly very happy because Gofo Pedi and Mabom. So, it's a whole lot. We know that the FA would lose more than anybody else. But even from the media point of view, from the fans' point of view, it's been a lot to process in the last few days. From your angle, like from the FA, I just want to understand, what has that been like the last few days since that confirmation that we're not going to the AFCON? What is it like at your office?
I made a lot of money in 2008 when I covered the Cup of Nations.
That's true.
Because I was reporting for quite a number of multinational companies, Radio Netherlands, Deutsche Welle, among others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and it was a good experience. So I'm sure that is the dream of every sports journalist to get to cover the Africa Cup of Nations. Is the biggest competition on the continent, where the best teams on the continent assemble at one venue, compete for one trophy. So it is actually the dream of every FA as well to be present, you know, at this championship. Unfortunately, we won't be at the next AFCON in Morocco, and it's been to borrow your word, chaotic. It's been sorrowful. It's been very, very difficult to wrap our heads around what has happened. Personally, sleepless night in Angola. It was tough to take after the blast of the final whistle. I was actually the first to return to the locker room. You know,
wow.
I called the security man, asked him to open the locker room, and I went lying down on the floor because it was very, very difficult. Knowing very well that we had a slim chance if we had won that game, and then we were going to wrap it all up in Accra and leave the rest to fate.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't happen when the Angolans equalized. We created a few chances. We couldn't score those opportunities that came our way, and it was game over. Fent, it's not been easy, especially when history will not forgive you. You know, in 2004, when we didn't qualify for the AFCON, it's always been a reference point. Oh, the last time we didn't qualify, 2004, you know. And anytime I see the likes of Augustin Ayimfo, Steven Bidu, Sami Kufuor and co., I talk to them about that experience. And it's something they don't want to talk about. They hate to discuss that particular subject. And then 20 years down the line, we failed to qualify. And it is during the time when some of us, you know, are at the helm of affairs. So history will not forgive us. It will always hang around our necks, which is the most difficult thing to take around this time. But at the end of the day, we have to move on. We're a powerful football nation. There are a lot of difficulties around this time. You have to sieve the seal, pick the positives. And I listen to radio a lot. I listen to you. I pick some of the things you talk about. Some almost are critically truthful, you know, the bare fact. You don't pick bones with people because they are speaking the truth. I mean, people are expressing their views, sharing their opinion, and you want to pick bones with them. That is not my style, because I am very critical. And I tell people every day that I am very, very critical. So if
We have the audios. Yeah, we have the videos.
I am very critical.
There is no, I
stand by.
You can't
everything.
Run away from
no
it.
Chance. Mm. No chance. I am a stubborn lad. I believe in my principles. I believe in what I think is right. And so I cannot pick offense when Sicho is making his view or making his point or expressing his view, or maybe Daniel or Muftau. The only point where I think, you know, sometimes it's problematic is when people make it personal and they are attacking personalities instead of attacking the issue. But aside that, you or Sicho or Daniel or Mufti, I take it in good faith. And fair I enough. Think that the best way to develop is to be open, to accept or embrace views and opinions, which is why leadership sometimes is difficult. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. And listen, there has to be consequences for what has happened. And those consequences are varied. They go from the administrators who were responsible for it, go to the players responsible for it, the coaches responsible for it. And so even the ministry or the minister responsible for it, in a serious or in other jurisdictions where standards are upheld, a performance like this would have come with consequences that are direct, immediate, and have a lasting impact. In our sense, we seem to be dilly-dallying over the issues. Henry, it's been what? Since it's been 2 weeks now since we got confirmation of our non-qualification. The FA has had meetings, two ECHO meetings now. One of them, they came with a list of things that they had agreed to do. One of them being that they wanted to consult, so they asked us to come to Pram Pram. We told them that was not a bright idea, because you want ideas from people, you don't tell them to come to Pram Pram. So the FA cancelled that. Then the FA said they would meet Otoado for him to present his technical report and discuss it. and we were expecting that there would have been immediate action taken right after that meeting. Nothing has happened from the FA point of view, so no one has stepped down. At Post as well, the statement was not very satisfactory in that it didn't address a lot of what you would like to describe as critical issues confronting our football. And on the day when they were supposed to have the first ESCO meeting, they went and presented buses to FAPS, which turned out to look like they were trying to paper over what was a very serious issue. And so people thought, and whether it is the perception of the action or the reality of the action, that is a different matter altogether. What is important is that on that day, they decided to do something that could have waited while a more pressing issue was dealt with. So there's been a lot of things that have happened in the last 2 weeks that have not impressed me per se, in terms of the action that the FA is taking in trying to even first of all calm nerves and see where. And now we are hearing conversations about a new Blasters management committee being put together, and so many things. From the FA point of view, Henry, what critical actions are we not aware of that you think have happened to give us confidence that this FA, we can believe in them to come out of this crisis? Because this is a crisis that even this administration has never been confronted before. Have you seen anything? What are you doing in the last 2 weeks from when crisis setting should we believe in and have confidence that, you know what, I think that these guys will get us out of this?
Well, the first thing and the most important thing, first of all, is to have calm nerves. And when your nerves are calm, you'll be able to take important decisions. So I think, yes, like you indicated, there have been two ESCO meetings. The first one was to look into the journey, the entire journey of the qualifiers, the six games we played. Then in that meeting, there was a decision to disband the then management committee, which was chaired by the vice president of the FA, Mark Addo. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the council decided to listen to the coach. So Otto was invited to present his report. He made his report available. Mm-hmm. Copies have been made to the various members of the committee, the council, sorry. Let me mention that as we speak, we've got 11 members of the council because of Kwesi Appiah's issue. And so there was a need for the council to meet him in person, mm-hmm. which happened on Wednesday. The meeting, which lasted about a little over 4 hours, presented his report, a 56 document or so.
56 page document.
Page document or so, went through, justified, first of all, the collapse for each of the games, his approach to the games, his tactics for the games, how the opponent also reacted in the course of the game, from the match, the first match against Angola, to the second game against Niger, then the Sudan game in Accra, Sudan in Benoni in Libya, and then the last two games in Luanda and Accra. You know, so there was a presentation on each of the six games that we played, after which the council members of the council were given the opportunity to ask questions. I think the least question that came from a member was stray. You know, it was very open. This meeting was also attended by the regional football association chairman. Mm. So they were also allowed to make an input. And they all, he was discharged. And then they, among the council members, they discussed. It went on and on and on and on. There was a stalemate. And so the decision was that the ministry will now have to come in. And it's basically because we have suffered in the past. You know, for instance, CK Akono was fired. It became an issue in terms of his remuneration and compensation. Mm-hmm. When Milo was fired, it also became an issue because Milo didn't have time to waste. He went to FIFA. FIFA judged in favor of Milo, and then we needed to pay over $100,000 upon several pleas to the ministry. Mm-hmm. They were not forthcoming, so the FA needed to pay that money, you know, 117 or 100 and
so of Milo's severance package?
Yes.
The FA?
Yes.
Because the ministry refused to pay or said they didn't have money?
They were not forthcoming. Sometimes when you are knocking on the doors of the ministry, it depends on availability of funds. And once Milo went to court, we were also given a certain deadline to meet. Right. We had to meet that deadline or else we suffer consequences. And so there was a need for
us. So when it becomes critical, the FA finds the money. They know where the money is.
It depends on what you are talking about and what it is.
I know. I'm talking about criticality.
So these issues, you cannot compare a 1-year contract or a 9-month contract to a 38-month contract or a 36-month contract. So the council deferred the meeting and said they will have to consult the government, after which a firm decision will be made. And
hold on, Henry.
That's what we are waiting for.
Okay, so it means, I'll just let you come in. From what I picked up from what you just said, the only reason the ministry needs to step in is if a conversation about his severance package comes in.
Not necessarily.
Hold on.
At the end of the day, when it comes to appointment or hiring, mm-hmm. of especially the team A coaches,
yes,
the FA always does it with the ministry.
Yes,
in terms of remuneration, compensation, bonuses, and all of that.
That's what I did.
Done with the ministry.
So my question.
So once the ESCO has taken a decision, you have to go back to the ministry, present your decision, and defend your decision, and then.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying that. So from what up? So are you saying that the ESCO has decided that they no longer want to work with Otto, but they cannot make that decision until the ministry signs off on it? Is that what it is?
There was no such decision. The council did not.
So what are they referring to the ministry for? To discuss compensation?
A number of issues.
Because if it is about performance, that's the ESCO's job. Conclusion is that he's good enough to stay, then there's no need to consult.
There is every need to consult the ministry. Because finally, when you even take a decision to fire the coach and there is an issue about paying him off, is the ministry's responsibility, is the government.
I get it.
Yes.
I get that. But I'm saying that you involve the government about all these issues of firing Otuado if you are considering it. If you're not considering it, you don't need to go to the ministry, do you?
It depends on where you sit. The ministry pays the coaches.
Yes.
And
so let's say at the ESCO meeting.
At the moment, the FA is still paying Otto because he's still Ghana's coach.
Yes.
Great. So as long as he's the coach, the agreement is that the ministry will pay
the salary.
Absolutely. The salary. Absolutely. So as we speak, today's 29, by now, Southern Wire.
No, I'm not sure.
No, I'm today's 29. Government.
I'm not sure. Now. I'm not sure because there are some.
Nope. Issues with it, but
let him answer that. Ubek.
Salaries that are in arrears.
There are some what, please?
Yes,
there are some salaries that are in arrears.
Okay,
and we have to face it.
Otuado.
Okay, now. So
do you owe him 3 months' salary?
We owe him a few months.
A few months.
Yes. Yes. Not him. The entire backroom staff.
The entire coaching staff. We know about that. But what I'm saying is,
Before your question comes in, Henry, what's the?
Don't you think he will forget? Just let him ask.
I wanted you to elaborate on why you owe Otto.
Why we owe Otto?
Yes. Why do we hire coaches and not pay them? Like, I mean, obviously the ministry pays them, but what's the issue?
I don't know. I don't know. Once is the responsibility of the ministry. I cannot speak for the ministry. But what I know is that there are some months that are in arrears.
Okay, so I wanted to pick on that because you see, it's like everything is connected. You hire someone, we don't pay the person, we expect him to get results. He doesn't get results. We want him to get fired. The entire technical team, we've not paid them. Maybe let's even say about the past 3 months, and they are working. Like I find that hard. I cannot understand it. Like, why do we do this? You get it? I don't even think it's fair. So we sit here and we lambast Otuado. We criticize him. He's left his family in Germany. He's come here. He has a contract. He's coaching. Pay him his money. Certainly, the ministry has money to pay their own staff. If this was some tournament where some other people have a share, they would have approved. But we went to the AFCON, we took 8 million. You can't get 50,000 to pay Otto Addo and his backroom staff. Then why did you sign the contract? If you don't have the money, why did you sign the contract? I don't find that fair at all. And we do this a lot in this country. You understand? What kind of serious coach would want to come and coach and be owed salary? 3 months, 4 months. So in the last 3 or 4 months, what is Otto Addo? Where is he finding money to eat and feed his family? It's not fair. So you ask your question.
So I'm saying that all things being equal, the ministry automatically pays Otto Addo. Now, in your statement, you said that there was a stalemate. So the FA, the council decided to defer it to the ministry. Now, if there's a stalemate and they are deferring it to the ministry, my thinking is then the ministry has to then decide. If there's a stalemate as well, depending upon what the issue is, I'm thinking it's about auto staying or auto leaving. Are you then saying that if it's divided opinions of the ESCO, the ministry will now have the final say on whether auto stays or goes?
Obviously, it will come back to the council. Let me just say that during Milo's time, for instance, in a similar situation, but maybe it was not as publicized as this auto seats issue is. During Milo's time, after the AFCON, the council met, they again met the coach, and then we had to go back to the ministry. And there was a joint meeting between the ESCO and the ministry, and I was part of that meeting. Very, very heated, atmosphere. And eventually, the two bodies decided to let him walk or show him the door, and then he was
so
his contract was actually cancelled.
Is the difference not that the FA then presented a decision to the ministry? This time,
no.
The FA is not presenting any decision to the ministry.
No,
what is the ministry going to do?
The FA did not present a position to the ministry. Yes, I know very well that it was quite similar. Opinions were divided. There were those who believed that, the AFCON didn't go well, yes, but he had the experience to turn things around. There were others who said the AFCON ended in February. We had 3 weeks or so to prepare for the playoffs against Nigeria. We don't have time. Let's act quickly. And eventually we found a way, So
my final question on this, how many members in decisions like this can vote?
All of them.
How many members are in the ESCO?
12.
At the moment, 11.
Vice President Torf,
he's the chairman of the ESCO. He's a member of the ESCO.
Yes, so at the moment, how do we have a stalemate? Did somebody abstain? Did people abstain?
No, I don't even think the matter went into a vote.
It didn't get to that point.
It did not.
But so, Henry, let me ask you a question. Henry, just a quick one. Did some members of the ESCO leave in the course of the meeting?
No.
Okay.
All right, so listen, Sicho.
The only member who was late was Dr. Abbey.
Okay.
He was late because that day, the incident that happened on Metro TV.
Let's move the conversation on. The disagreement point, it's not on the same matter, right?
I need to ask something.
Your microphone, please. Decay, your microphone is not working. Yes, go on now.
When the ESCO is making a decision like this, like inviting the head coach to bring in his technical report to review it, why isn't the technical directorate there to help them make that decision?
No, per the structure of the FIFA technical charter and that of the Black Stars head coach does not report to the technical director.
No, it's not about reporting to him. He's making a technical report. He's coming to review a technical report to administrators. He's talking
in technical language. You can choose to invite the technical director. It's just by choice.
Yes, that's what he's saying. So why didn't you invite that?
Why didn't you invite
to help advice?
You can this thing can happen even without the person showing up physically.
But did it happen?
Whether it has happened or not?
Yeah,
he wasn't part of the meeting, but I'm saying that consulting of the Federation in decisions like this does not necessarily mean he must be present at the meeting.
Here's my next question. What were the deferring points at this ESCO meeting? You said there was a stalemate. People disagreed. What were the different positions?
There were members who argued that they do not believe he is the right man to
lead us forward,
take the team to the next level. And it includes the World Cup qualifiers and then maybe future tournaments, because he has a long-term contract. And there were those who thought, okay, per the factors he presented, we can probably work to put a strong team together to work with him, form a new management committee and ensure that they work hand in hand, provide all the necessary for him to succeed. And there were those who argued on different lines. But if it is that you play six matches and you are unable to win even a single one, then what's the point? We have to move on without him. So most of the people, and let me say that every single individual on that council made a cogent argument, put across very valid arguments during the cross-examination process, during the question and answers. Which is why the meeting lasted that long, because sometimes follow-up questions back and forth, and there were a number of questions, you know. So it got to a point where the president even jokingly said he will not take thesis questions anymore, you know, because there were some of them who had written 2 pages, 1.5 pages, 1 page questions, and wow. they kept asking, because they represent the views of the people, so they needed to ask sometimes questions from the streets, and then also questions from their technical know-how, and that's what transpired. It is not a meeting which came to present his report and then he got up and left. It was a very, very crunchy meeting.
What is the next logical time the ESCO is expected to hear from government, and when will we know for a fact that a decision will be made? Because at this point, I think whatever decision is made, the FA has to come out with a statement that says we are backing Otto or we are getting rid of Otto. When do we expect to find out for sure what the decision is?
I know discussions are ongoing between the leadership of the FA and then that of the ministry. Obviously, when I'm talking about the ministry, I'm referring to the government. So at the end of the meeting, the president mentioned that there will be another meeting very soon to conclude on the matter. So next week, there is the possibility that, I don't know yet, I haven't received any notification regarding the next meeting, but next week will be very short because today's week is a holiday, and then Saturday we'll be voting. So I cannot confirm when, but I think it will not be long.
Can I ask Henry a question? It wouldn't be next week.
But Henry, usually in meetings like this, there are always some consultations that you have behind the scenes before you meet to take decisions.
I am not a member of the council, so I don't know if you are pointing that direction. I don't know how I'm going to...
No, I'm saying that sometimes...
I am only an observer.
So clearly what you're saying, that there were no consultative meetings before
confirm.
The ESCO met?
I cannot confirm because I am not a member of the council.
Okay. My next question is this. So then, Henry, the ESCO meets and Otuado's future is what is being discussed, is what is being decided.
It was one of the main...
What was the other issue?
No, the other issue was a meeting with the Regional Football Association Chairman for Progress Report.
Yeah. Fantastic. So now we are looking at accountability for the failure of the Black Stars to qualify for the AFCON. The coach's responsibility and accountability is what we've just discussed. The ESCO themselves, who make that appointment, who make critical decisions around the team, logistical, organizational, they have a massive role to play themselves in this monumental failure. So then, has anybody at the ESCO, including the president, did anybody even hint when this thing happened that, you know what, maybe our own future should be considered? Is anyone considering resigning at the FA?
I don't know if I can enter into the minds of the membership, but...
So no one has whispered it to you?
No, I hardly go into that area, you know, because this is a board. Yes, sometimes you have one or two conversations with them, sometimes phone calls and a few other things. But to be very fair, I think that in the course of the meeting, especially on Wednesday, there were some members who said in the meeting that, Charlie, it's about our future, so we have to be serious. The people there are waiting for us. They are looking for us. The people there are talking. The one day, if care is not taken, we will get here and the FA is not, the building is not in place, you know. So they are very, very much, they are 100% aware of what their responsibilities are and how humongous this failure is, you know. So it's not as if they've taken it for granted. It's life goes on, business as usual. Let's come and sit down, drink wine, eat and go. No. All of them are concerned, but I cannot speak for them individually because I don't know what is running through their minds at this moment. I am only talking about things that I heard in the course of the meeting and some discussions that I have had with a few of them.
Yeah, Henry, you've been, I mean, thankfully, you've done this job a long time. Not just the journalism, but you've been in the sport football industry for a very long time. You've seen things, you've heard things, you've witnessed things. Are you surprised that after this failure, there's no one to step down at the FA?
Am I surprised?
Yes.
I don't think I can answer.
Why not? That's a personal question.
Unfortunately, my opinions in these cases don't matter. That's why I said I don't think I can answer. Maybe if I was sitting somewhere else, I would be in a better position to speak the way you are.
Yeah.
And then look into issues like you do. Or like Sicho or Daniel or maybe Mufti. But where I sit, I speak for the council and I communicate their decisions.
So speak and for so, them. Are you surprised they haven't quit?
No one has quit. I speak for them when they make decisions.
But they've made a decision not to resign. Have you?
I cannot say that for a fact. But I don't know what will happen. 1 minute from now is the future. So I don't know what will happen. Maybe something could happen. So whatever I say here will be irrelevant then.
Yeah, but timing is also everything.
Yes.
So it will still be relevant. It's been two weeks. Maybe, no one has.
Maybe their wives are still talking to them.
They're still consulting.
Yes.
Henry.
And it happens.
No, I want to ask Henry about resignation.
Why is Mufti laughing?
No. Anyone jokingly say that if Otuado is going, we should also resign?
Jokingly?
Yes. At the escort meeting. Maybe one of us.
How can I talk about jokes?
No, you see, no, it might sound as a joke, but completely not a joke.
Because for an ex-con member, no, hold on, Mufta. If you have information, no,
because
that
we have an official here, because we have an official here,
it's as if he sat by me.
That's what I'm saying. If you have information you want to share, share. No,
because we have an official here. Because an official is here, let him speak to the official.
No, you can also
all the things published on my joy online. They are exactly the same thing he's saying here. That's why I've asked
like
that
what?
Question.
Like what?
Like the stalemate of the other's future undecided. It's still on the website. Engaging the Ministry of Youth and Sports. It's still on the website.
So are you saying Henry shouldn't talk again?
No. What I'm saying because I've asked a certain question.
Okay.
Because
maybe I missed that point.
Okay. Or maybe before you join the meeting. It's fine.
Mufta, let's Sicho, just hold your question for me. I was on the subject of resignations and I asked whether you're surprised that no one has quit yet. You answered that question. You said from where you sit, you cannot tell. I want to speak about issues regarding communications, which you directly are responsible for. One of the things that many people have taken issue with was a video that was published of Keto Kreku addressing the Blastars players, a video that has now become a subject of conversation even among Niger's players, one of which did an interview with Muftau.
Why did you do that interview?
I did the interview because it was relevant and I needed to do the interview.
Was he the only player you could have spoken to?
Well, there are thousand and
only one willing to speak.
There are 1,001 players out there, but when you reach out to the players and one is available, why not? You do the interview.
Mm. Okay.
So Henry, one of them was named.
I have been there before. Yeah. So it's fine.
One of them was name dropped in that meeting or in that conversation, and obviously he did an interview where he also came on the Cham offensive. He went on the Cham offensive. Didn't take it lightly at all that the GFA president went to mention his name while talking to Blastars players. What was the the thinking or the conversation around that video going up, because surely I'm sure you've seen the backlash that has followed that. Like, what's the process like? Whose decision was it to publish that?
I think it would be unfair to say whose decision it was and whose decision it wasn't not, and also talk about what might have happened behind the scenes before the video came out, blah blah blah. At the end of the day, the president addressed the players, and collectively there was a decision without the interview. And so, yes, I can take full responsibility because I am the media officer for the team. But he didn't do that on his own. He sought permission from the technical team led by the coach. One hot afternoon, just before lunch, he walked in. The coach spoke to the players and said the president wants to address them. And he did address them. And then that is what happened. So as the media officer of the team and then also as the comms director of the FA, maybe I am fully responsible. Once it's a team decision, I have to take it as it is.
And that's not the only issue that people have taken with a lot of the things that have come out of this FA. Even communication. I'm glad that you're here. You have the opportunity to answer to a lot of those questions. Or to add those press conference itself was another very chaotic press conference. There were a lot of things that came out of it. Confrontation with journalists, his demeanor, some of the things that he said. What is it? Does the FA recognize? I think that it is Sitcho that has said it, or is it Daniel that Otuado has communication issues? Is it an issue of language? Is it an issue of culture?
Maybe he's an emotional person.
Okay.
And sometimes it weighs on him, you know, during some of these engagements. I'm always with him. I prep him before we go. Even during the sessions, once I am with him, sometimes you would want to speak on his behalf. But when the manager wants to take the bullet, there are occasions where you can do little, you know, or nothing to change the situation. We are different people. We are different human beings. We take issues differently. As you see me, I am a firebrand, but maybe because a lot of things have changed.
Because the FA is not doing too well, and the Ghana football is not doing too well, so you've calmed down.
Maybe you can conclude in
just
that manner.
I wouldn't.
You have known me for many years. Oh, yes. We've lived together for many years, so you know me very, very well.
Too well.
I mean, among us in this room, maybe it is only Daniel who doesn't know much about me.
Mm.
But for you and
you're a big brother.
For you and Sitcho, for you and this man.
I mean, you go with
this semi bald headed man.
Wow!
You have to hurry up and join the club. You're actually part of me.
Wow!
The only difference is your biological whatever heritage, but the rest, yeah. I think we've had it to do a lot of things in times past. So yes, Fent, what I can say is that he admits sometimes, you know, after every session we go through, sometimes I send him the video and I send him my comments, and almost every time he admits that it should have gone this way, shouldn't have gone that way, and even in the ESCO meeting he admitted that yes, having reviewed the video, there were things he could have handled properly or in a more, you know, calmer situation, or in a more maybe relaxed manner, you know, to put it blunt. So yes, once he considered he admits there are issues, is also part of the problem, and it's work in progress. I mean, there have been many coaches with these challenges. It could be culture, it could be background, it could be temperament,
yeah.
Sometimes it could be emotions, but we will work on it and get better.
Is the GFA considering putting together another Blasters management committee?
Yes,
definitely. Why? The white paper says don't.
There are management committees for, once you give a reason, there are reasons for putting together a management committee. You spoke about logistics. You spoke about planning. You spoke about discussions on the team. You spoke about a host of issues that's the administrative part handle. You know, at the moment, yes, there is a national teams department that is responsible for all the national teams of the FA, but there are certain issues that, you know, have to be escalated, you know, to the level of the management committee for them.
Why can't those issues go straight to the FA ESCO? What are they doing?
The executive council is not a full-time job. It's not a full-time body.
That is the management committee job.
Yes. So the management committee, once they are responsible for specific tasks, they will be able to deal with those.
So my point is, why don't they make some of the ESCO members responsible for the Black Stars at certain moments, at different times?
The chairman of the management committee is always an ESCO member.
Yes.
All the management committee.
Why does he need all those other five people to come in and help him do the
job? They come in with different...
Because if, like you said...
They come in with varied backgrounds. For instance, if the last management committee is anything to go by, there was a need to put each and every one of them on that.
So my ultimate question then is, what is so special about the Black Stars that they are the only ones that need those of people from those backgrounds to run it?
All the national teams have
I don't mean Ghana's national teams. I mean Ghana's national teams are literally the only ones with management committees. England's Three Lions don't have a management committee.
That is England.
The Germans don't have a management committee.
That is Germany.
The Brazilians don't.
That is Brazil.
But they are winning. We are not winning.
Are you sure? Are you sure Brazil are winning?
Well, but they are five times.
4 years ago.
Yes.
Oh, you are talking about 4 years ago.
But 4 years ago, yes, they didn't have a management committee.
Over 40 years ago, we've not won anything.
If the last two, three games are anything to go by, then you also have issues to
no
to
so
about.
So bottom line my
okay,
point
they,
my,
they
my,
are
my,
really
what I am saying is that
okay, spain, spain,
I get
spain,
it I get
spain,
it
Spain won the Euros. They don't have a management committee.
That is Spain.
So bottom line is
Senegal, once
the structure is working and you do not have any
how exactly is it working, Henry? The management committee, how is it working? Like what do they do? What is so
special?
They are the managers
of the team when it comes to planning, decision making, work with the coach, ensure that everything that the team needs is always available. That is their core mandate.
Yeah, but we're saying that you don't need five people for that job from outside of the ESCO.
I'm sorry.
Outside of the FA.
I'm sorry. On what basis do you make that argument, Fenty?
Because we've seen, look, every year what you do is that we look at standard practice and then you adapt. And I'm telling you right now that the standard practice across the globe, from the big football nations,
I have worked for certain media companies like O Global in 2014.
Yes.
In 2015, 2016, yes. I was working for O Global.
Yes.
And I checked the structure of O Global, as big as it is, the largest media platform
in the Brazil.
Whole of South America. Mm-hmm. They don't have a CEO. What is it? Chief Operations Officer. Yes, they
many,
don't have.
Many institutions
but multimedia has.
So question.
So I am saying
they
that.
Have, no, do
I'm
they
saying
have,
that it depends.
Have,
it depends on
see,
the.
You see, in place
when
of
you
the
want to compare,
of
when
CEO,
you want to compare FA to FA and say these people, you have to. We are working
no,
in different backgrounds.
No, okay. So no, the results that they are churning out.
No, but if you want to question the results, I agree. But to say it is needless.
No, but Fent asked the question about what exactly they do.
Yeah,
and when I listened to some of the things you said they're doing, I didn't think you needed
like,
five
yeah,
people to do that.
Like
because what really are they going to do? Logistics, they won't use their money to pay. They won't go and find the money. The FA presents the budget to the ministry. Ministry will give you a pass holder to spend on the things you are going to be provided. They won't charter the flights. You know, so there are so many things about the team that I think that you need the five-member committee for management committee to be able to do it. So the question again is,
different,
what exactly
is different when you are? It's different when you are arguing on the number. And then the committee as a body. If it's about the number,
so,
I can agree.
Yeah, so
that you
okay,
don't need
so
five
don't need
people
five.
To do this. You don't need four people to do that.
Yes, and the
but
reason,
there have been occasions where you need a management committee to meet and there are maybe two and one is not available. The meeting cannot happen. Two are not available. The meeting cannot happen.
Here's my question
so,
for you.
So there is always a reason
yeah.
for that number.
Okay, here's another question on that very subject. During the normalization, the The normalization committee put together different subcommittees. There was a national team subcommittee. That national team subcommittee was made up of people from varied backgrounds, as is, Dr. Patrick Ofori is one of them. Frank Edu Jr., the former Carbank MP, was one of them. They came up with a standard document for how our national teams should be run. The normalization committee adopted it before they handed over to this FA. One of the recommendations that they provided for how we should run our national team is to create a national team board. Okay, a permanent national team board, not just for Black Stars. All national teams. And then they will then have a national team department who will then report to that board, and that board can take every single decision, every single planning meeting, every single with regards to all the national teams. And you don't have to form nine different committees for nine different national teams, male, and then seven for seven different female national teams.
Right now, even more, under 19 and under 15.
So my question is, Henry, why aren't we using or that document in particular? Why have we completely ignored it and doing exactly what the white paper says we shouldn't? Don't form my committees.
Are you done?
I was a long time ago.
Okay.
Why have you ignored the national team's subcommittee report? Why are they not implementing
The normalization committee made a recommendation. Was that a recommendation?
It was a committee.
It is cast in stone.
It was a committee that sat and presented the report. That report was adapted. It has to be used. It's not being used.
Okay. So what I know is that when you are talking about a board to supervise all national teams, as we speak, we have over 20 national teams.
Yes.
Okay. So you are talking about a board that will be paid fully and work a full time. Have you thought of that? How available would they be when you need them? We have national teams that play games or competitions at different times of the year, of the season. There are sometimes you may not have that board in place to make those decisions, to form quorum and meet.
Why not? If that's the job, wouldn't they be available?
I'm just saying that when you have a board, that is not a full time. It is difficult for them to leave their jobs and attend to you when you need them.
But Harry, nobody's really full-time. But the point is
ever
it's football so haphazard that when you pick January to December, you can't plan how you're going to like the engagement of all national teams. You just wake up and say we are going to Germany to play football with another 20, or do you just wake up and say that Ghana has AFCON qualifiers in Angola? Do you not have all these from January to December sometime lined up, or even midway through the year that the board can sit and decide that this is how we are going to run
it? You have your calendar before the end of the year,
right?
But when it comes to preparations, there is nothing written down before the start of the year. Mm-hmm. Preparations are not things that can be planned before a team one. For instance, you have qualified for a major competition. Mm-hmm. Teams are writing and they are making requests. They are putting in requests for friendly matches. Those ones cannot be planned yesterday. It's not possible to plan friendly matches 6 months ago or 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. Unless maybe you have a game that is planned in, say, December, mm-hmm. and you have agreed to play the game. You signed a contract 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
But those ones are rare. You know about CAF calendar. Mm-hmm. They send it to all the MAs. Mm-hmm. You know about FIFA calendar. They send it to all the MAs. Mm-hmm. But whilst the games are approaching, they will come back to select your date.
Right.
They give you general calendars, and then you select the dates
that's what I'm saying. But situation, so I am saying a committee for that.
I am saying that no, that one is not the responsibility.
Do you need a committee to manage these
things? That one is not the responsibility of the management committee. That one is the responsibility of the secretariat. The point I am trying to make is that Sicho was talking about football being haphazard and the fact that dates are unknown and so you need a committee to plan on when we will play or when we will not play. No. Mm. Those ones are known. Calendars are sent to MAs ahead of time.
Hear my question. My question was
that wasn't his question.
My question was, is football so haphazard that you need people to be
available every single time to plan. My question was, or my point was,
in the relation football to
calendar.
Them,
yeah, my football calendar is so fixed, properly planned to the extent that any proper working association should be able to plan, you know, the year.
You do.
And when, yes,
we do.
And so when you have a board, yes, the board don't have to meet every time. The board can meet quarterly.
No, as and when we are talking about one board managing over 20 national teams.
The one FA is managing everything, including staff. You don't have a problem.
It's not
you, the FA.
That's why there are departments.
Yes, so you're speaking as if one board, like one board.
That is what you are trying to tell me. You are trying to tell me that you have a board in place that will manage over 20 national teams.
You have ESCO. ESCO is made up of 11 people.
The ESCO does not manage the FA. Yeah. The ESCO does not manage the FA. The ESCO is a board that comes to take decisions once a while. Sometimes they meet four times a year, five times a year.
Hold on.
You are talking about national teams where some play in February, some play in March, some play in April.
The board, as we say it now, is going to take key decisions, proper planning. The implementation of it can be looked at. And as you said, we can have a national teams department which has hired people to work full-time who are assigned specific roles and duties with respective national teams.
But we have a national teams department.
So what we are saying is, then you don't need management committee for each and every one of the national teams, because if the national team department have employed people who then will be assigned to specific roles, then
you don't
the
need a committee.
You don't need committees. It's only what we are saying.
No.
Then the national team department.
It depends on where you sit.
Okay.
And it depends on the job they do when their teams are about to play matches or when competitions are.
So Henry, I'll riddle you. So from where you sit, let's just do that. From where you sit, from what you've experienced, the national team management committees, how critical is their job? We cannot function without them.
You can function without them, but once you want to function without them, then you need to create another avenue,
which is a national team department. That's what he's saying.
It's not the national teams department. Okay, let me use this example.
Okay,
you are going to a competition. You have one person from the national teams department responsible for logistics, responsible for operations, responsible for team engagement, responsible for protocols. How can this person function?
But it's a department made up of one person.
No. So mostly when they are traveling, mostly when teams are traveling or they are going for competitions, there is one person from the national teams department that follows them. That follows the team.
Isn't that the issue that has to be fixed? That you equip the team department and then you don't need all these committees, and then you can have multiple people at these competitions taking care of the...
That's why I'm saying it depends on how you look at it and certain modalities in place. Mm-hmm. If you are setting modalities in place, you should get to a point where you say that, okay, the teams can function without the management committees. Mm-hmm. And in the absence of the management committee, this is what we are putting there to perform the role or the duties of the management committee.
Okay.
Until then, they are still relevant.
So, what I will say, DK,
I don't get the sense that we understand the magnitude of the situation, because it's like we are just doing the same thing and expecting different results. You've called a coach to give technical reports. You are going to make a decision on whether you should fire him. The management committees are the same. We are just recycling individuals.
But the management committee was not part of the exercise.
No, they don't need to be part of the exercise. What I'm saying is that from what you said today, I've not found anything unique that you are doing outside what you've already been doing to give us new results. Because it's been 5 years of failure across board, and we are not seeing anything. You've not said anything differently. The management committee is still going to exist. It happened before where they were dissolved and the new members came, and that's the same thing that is going to happen. Whatever the decision happens on the coach, it's either he'll be sacked or he'll be kept. Same thing. I'm not hearing anything different outside what we've already been doing in terms of standard practice to give us different results. So what is the
question is it's related to the question I asked earlier. Like, what different thing are we doing now as an FA to ensure that we come out of this
situation
and qualify for the World Cup
and go to the
NBA?
Yes, I think that's going to the World Cup.
What do you seek to do? What are you going to do differently compared to what has happened in the last 3 months in terms of your technical structure? Which areas do you think need to be strengthened? Which areas do you think have to improve? All these things fall under the technical aspect of the game, how you go about it. Yes, there have been coaches in and out of the Black Stars, but every one of them has a unique way of handling issues. You know, I have been in the same locker room with CK, with Milo, with Otto previously, and Chris Hilton, and then now Otto. They have different style of work. Then they deal with issues differently. You know, so you cannot compare. That's why you need to go into the minds of these people and understand their way of work and their way of life to be able to judge them fairly. You know, so on the side of the executive council, look at the team from behind, because they are not as close as maybe I am. Looking at the team from behind, they espouse their point based on observations, findings, speaking points, what is being discussed on the streets, on radio, in the media, critical areas that need attention, and that is what they seek to do, you know. And then on the managerial side as well, and then the other side where the ministry comes in, the monetary issues, we also need to do it, like payments, like fixing the pitches, like making the environment enabling for the players, ensuring that players come in and are not ready, like it happened against Angola, and those are other areas. So in dealing with those facets, you have to look at them separately. You know, at the moment we are dealing with the technical aspect. Once you fix the technical aspect, you need to go into the administrative aspect and also look at what could have been done right, we didn't do logistics, provision of materials, equipment, and all those things. Is that the responsibility of the FA? Yes. And where does the ministry come in? What are they also supposed to do? How do we ensure that bonuses are paid on time? How do we ensure that salaries of coaches are paid in real time? Then we also go into that area. So it's a lot. And then one of the decisions the council also took for me with respect to the retreat that has been postponed. Yes, sometimes you also need to listen to the other voice. And so they took a decision to listen to the other voice, listen to stakeholders, sports marketers, media, and all the major stakeholders who are in the game. Collectively, we make the game stronger. So once you are able to listen to the other voice, it helps you to also shape your opinion. And then it helps you to also plan. It helps you to take a decision. It helps you to look into matters differently. There are things that they could suggest that you can also bring on board to help you or to adjust in your forward marching. So these are the areas. And once you are able to deal with all these areas, it puts you in a better position to strategically plan for the future.
Henry, well said. But you see,
it's still the same thing.
It's still the same thing. Why? Why am I saying this? Because 5 years we've been changing coaches. Based on
changing management committees.
Thank you. The coach comes, he comes to bring a report, he is judged.
People will question him.
People will question him.
Look,
there are two sides of it, and you mentioned it. If you are talking about the coaches, and you say they have different styles. When you say styles, I'm getting the idea of they have different ways of maybe relating with players.
Personalities.
But when it comes to technical, why could you play on the right per the game plan? You can't do that in an absence of a technical person. And unfortunately, that is a chunk of why you win or lose games. What happens on the field in terms of tactics, and you can't do that in the absence of a technical person. And we've been having this practice over and over and over again. So my issue is, if Ghanaians are listening to you, what guarantee should they have that the same people who
are you aware that during CK's time, every trip the Black Stars made, the technical director was with us? Are you aware of that?
That's not what I'm saying.
No.
What
I'm asking, I need you to answer me.
You are making a decision.
Are you aware that every time the Black Stars traveled, the technical director was with the team?
That technical director
decision
is
making
the
technically.
Team anymore. There's a technical director now.
Even during Milo's time, the technical director was always present.
If you're going to make a decision on whether he should stay or where he should go, whether the technical aspect was
impressive or not,
you can't
make it. That's why I'm saying that. That's why I'm saying that in an executive council meeting, the technical director shouldn't be physically present for you to know that he is being.
Harry, why was Ben Halle traveling, but these people are not traveling with them? Why was Ben Halle always traveling with the team, but this current technical director is not with the team?
It was at the request of the coach.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, Henry, we will take a break.
CK wanted him around.
On whether Otto-Addo wanted technical support.
Yeah, did Otto-Addo ask for more technical support?
No.
In his, okay, fair.
You need to allow us to ask the question.
No, I'll take a break. Henry is not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, Henry is not
going
anywhere.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
I need water.
Listen, Karim, get him water. Listen.
To be able to keep me here.
Yes, no problem. We'll keep you here. Daniel's point about hearing something new, we are looking at something revolutionary.
But you haven't seen the report of the council.
Forget
going that. Forward.
Okay.
So you are not in the position to conclude.
No, they have met twice. They released a statement, the first one.
That was prelims.
The legendary has cited you. We have not qualified. Hold on. We have not qualified for an AFCON. We failed to win six matches. The first time ever we've gone through a qualifying series without winning a game. For the first time in 24 years, we've lost a game at Baba Yara. First time in 16 years, we've lost a game at Accra Sports Stadium. This coach, this FA, you've not given us a single victory in six matches. And your first time of meeting, you come and tell us that.
It's a prelims.
Prelims. Your statement is prelims. Just say, you people are joking with us. Our emotions. Oh.
No. You can't say that.
What is prelims?
You cannot say that.
Look.
They took a decision. You may not agree with the decision.
And, I don't.
And that is my position. I'm saying that, Fintu, when a decision is made by a body and you don't agree, you have every right to express your feelings. There is nothing wrong with it. And sitting in this studio, I have not defended anything wrong that was supposed to be done or the council didn't do or they did or did not do. You understand? They accept that it's a monumental failure. You just mentioned it in your intro.
Yes.
Yes, and it is. Facts are sacred. You can't change it. I mentioned in my earlier submission that history will never forgive you. And they are aware. That history will never forgive you.
Why 16 years in Accra. Why aren't there consequences for it? That's my biggest frustration.
Consequences from where?
From everywhere.
You expect the council members to resign.
Yes.
But I am not in the position to advise them on that.
No, they are listening. I'm telling them that.
So if you are speaking to them from your position, I can understand. But where I sit, I am not the one to tell them to resign.
Yes, and you also can't tell whether they should resign or not.
Absolutely.
As for the council resign.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't share that opinion. Me, when I do something and I feel, I don't stop. I go again. They failed as a council.
Not
they can
once.
Back themselves. No problem. They can back
not
themselves.
Twice.
Why?
They,
how?
They don't have to resign.
They didn't qualify for...
It is those who put them in that position that will have to decide whether they are good enough to be there or not. Because they vote.
Congress.
All right. Congress.
Henry, Congress. I think that, you know, listen, this FA, when it came to power in 2019, they had the chance to make changes and make it their own. We know what happened. They got rid of Kwesi Appiah, brought in CK Akono, which many believed had a relationship with the FA president because they worked with him before.
But Muftao interviewed him recently. He said he's not his friend.
Yeah, so I'm coming. I know.
It's not about what people believe. The man has said that they are not friends.
Yes, but that is now. He's saying that now. He didn't say that 5 years ago.
No. Did he say it was yesterday or today?
No, he said he didn't get the necessary... Hold on.
Did he make any specific mention of time?
He did Mufao, say...
you interviewed him.
No. He said the perception people had.
I interviewed him.
No.
But years ago and today.
They are not friends. Comment came 2 weeks ago.
That one even came recently.
Yes,
but when I interviewed him earlier, what he had said was that it was a perception people had that they were close.
Okay. Bottom line... The brought
anyway,
CEO.
But
he
wasn't appointed by the president anyway.
By the FA president, you mean?
Yes.
Uh-huh. No. So you have to be specific.
They say he was appointed by Azike Siama. Is it true?
I don't know.
like asking some questions.
I don't know.
But the point I'm making is, Henry, that this FA supervised our worst AFCON ever in 2021. That was played in January 2022, where we had gone through an AFCON group stage. Got kicked out without winning a single match. First time ever.
We made amends by qualifying for the World Cup.
No, we didn't make amends by qualifying for the World Cup. The African project is different. That thing, you see, fans, and that's the question I was going to ask. Why is it that your boss, the JFA president, Mr. Kat Okereku, takes absolutely no responsibility for the failures of the Black Stars and keeps all the football in Ghana and keeps drawing us back to some 5 years ago and making us feel like we don't think and we are stupid and the World Cup that Ghana qualified to was a favor than us? Look, you failed miserably at the AFCON. Then we got to the World Cup and it wasn't an amends that Ghana made.
We and that World Cup bottom of the group.
Yes, in that World Cup, we had played and qualified to the playoffs. And then we had an opportunity of qualifying. It wasn't a favor. We deserve to be there because Ghana has done what he has to do over time to be going to the World Cup as well. So when you tell us we made an amends, it's almost like the AFCON, we failed, but the World Cup, we did part time. No. And the reason I'm saying this is because after the disaster of not qualifying to this AFCON, the president went on Facebook, dropped a very terrible post, took no responsibility, told Ghanaians that qualifying to the Qatar World Cup was the highest of heights. When we have been one kick away from the World Cup semi-finals. How do you call beating Nigeria without winning over two legs? It's the rule of the game, no problem. How do you call that highest of heights? And go on to tell us that not qualifying from the group in the AFCON 2021, not qualifying from the group in this AFCON, and not making it in the more recent AFCON in Cote d'Ivoire, and not making it to the AFCON is temporary. It's a temporary what? Setback.
Amen.
How? How do you put these words?
That's 5 years of consistent failure, not temporary. And then,
Kofi Hayford here with Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. Actor and broadcaster Mikiose Beku, aka Dada Bold, has blamed governance and policies for the inability of many creatives to thrive in Ghana. Miki says he's never received loans or grants to support his production and that it's an indication that successive governments do not prioritize the creative industry. On the other hand, actor Loewen says ahead of the December 7 elections, he will not join his colleagues to endorse any political party because its consequences might affect the running of his basic school, which has no ties to any political party. Creative director of Rhythms on the Runway, KOD, has confirmed that all is set for its 2024 edition tomorrow, November 30, at the Grand Arena AICC. Apart from performances from legendary Asabia Kopa, Nene Ajeman, Edem, Amanziba, Kamido, DKB and more, the Kente edition will honor multi-award-winning musician Ejako Onimo, highlife icon Kwabena Kwabena, Pan-Africanist chief Momo Dudele, and Bibi Brew. That's all for now on Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. Do visit Joy Entertainment social media pages and myjoyonline.com for more. I am Kofi Hayford, Joy Entertainment. We are large and in charge.
Let us gather here.
Eja, but why have you called us all here?
His Excellency John Dramani Mahama says he is coming to introduce a 24-hour economy policy that will ensure round-the-clock operations by businesses and government organizations to enhance productivity, boost production, and create millions of decent, well-paying jobs.
24-hour economy?
Can you enlighten us?
Oh, simple. GM wants organizations with huge customer traffic like GVLA, passport office, ports, customs, as well as private businesses like agro-processing factories, industries, sanitation, construction companies to run three shifts of 8 hours each. For private businesses, Mahama will give them security support services, tax incentives, financing support, and and reliable power. This is what we call Formula 133.
But what formula is that?
It simply means one job, three shifts, three people. Simple.
Wow, this is indeed a game changer.
Formula 133.
Vote for change. Vote for John Mahama and the NDC.
Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining, whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be swinging them away with holy insecticide spray. Me, I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, me die, now my dad with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ganna Krong Krong. For bulk purchases, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Want more money, more moolah, more kudi, more sika, or more lajan?
Yes.
Then win more moolah with 30 Ghana Cedis free credits when you play Game Park's Pick 1 and Pick 4 games for the first time.
How?
Just dial *946#, get your first bet and win on us with a 30 Ghana Cedi welcome bonus.
Oh yes, it's all about the moolah.
Win more moolah with Game Park today. Go to gameparkgames.com for more information. Game Park is licensed by the NLA. Play responsibly. Not suitable for persons under 18 years.
Logi Entertainment and Rat Trade Pack presents the maiden edition of Event of the Year 2024. This music concert, Event of the Year, will witness the legendary Daddy Lumba. Black Sheriff. Kofi Kinata. Wendy Shay. Family. King Paluta and many more. Performing live on the 25th of December 2024 at Rattray Park in Kumasi. Showtime is 7 p.m. sharp. For tickets and tables, call 050-6677-742 or 0244-602-800. This event is supported by Musically Yours and Logi Travel and Tours.
Hello.
Good morning, all. Please, am I speaking to Madam Mavis?
Morning. And Mavis, me. One year.
I am Alfred. Me, Frefi MTN. Sisiana, we notice say Obi Isika wo wallet in him.
Jesus Christ. Me sika my brain.
Oh, Madam. Nyabuche. Sika sena na wo wallet in him.
2,000 Ghana rather be wo. Yes, wo. Jesus.
Oh, no. Ready, but momo pino na yam broke sani pano.
What broken? Okay. Why?
Auntie Mavis Jai, MTN will never call you with any number except 0244-300,000. Sure, don't entertain calls discussing your Momo wallet or claiming you've won money or gifts from MTN. Report any suspicious activity by calling 100 or using *170#, the Momo app, my MTN app, or email mmfraudteam.gh@mtn.com. Stay alert.
MTN.
Welcome back. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, Hits 103.9 FM. The show is proudly sponsored by Betway. And if you are ready to get way more chances to win with Betway every single day, you now have the key to unlock 5 free spins on the Mega Money Wheel, where you stand to win a massive 1 million Ghana Cedi jackpot. So what are you waiting for? Log in today and take your spin. All thanks to Betway. Betway, get way more. The show is also proudly sponsored, of course, by Petrosol. And Petrosol is here and they've got good news for you. Your trusted provider of clean fuel in full quantity is thrilled to announce that we've been adjudged the winner of the overall National Best Quality Company Award at the AGI Ghana Standards Authority National Quality Awards event. Guys, give them a round of applause. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Thank you very much. So Petrosol says, this achievement wouldn't have been possible without the loyalty and trust of our valued customers and supportive stakeholders. So thank you for believing in us. At Petrosol, we are committed to delivering quality fuel and lubricants. This award is therefore an external validation and testament of Team Petrosol's commitment to quality. We assure you that we will continue to work tirelessly to ensure that our products always meet the highest standards of quality. Please remember to drive to any Petrosol station for clean fuel in full quantity and also stand the chance of winning amazing prizes from our Energizing Dreams promo, which runs till the 31st of March 2025. Petrosol, Energizing Dreams. Chalkbox is also delivering the very best of products to your ward in secondary school. Henry, is your ward in secondary school at the moment? Not yet. Okay. All right, Henry, tap your microphone at the top there for me. Yes, just tap it for me. I don't know what is happening. So, but Henry's mic isn't working. Yeah, your microphone is what is the is which now?
It's where people coming.
It's working. That was Karim. He put it off from over there. It's Karim and Esther.
Okay.
Imagine, and they were listening to me complain.
They don't like me.
A shock. So anyway, so if you want,
you said they were pressuring me.
No.
Oh no.
So, what in secondary school? Use Chalkbox. It's amazing. It's convenient. It's reliable. You can call them 0302-23134. You don't have to drive all the way there. And also, the Hits FM Hottest DJ Competition is live on the Cruise Control. It's between 6 to 7 p.m. every single day. If you're a master mixer, that's the so do join them. The judges are there, of course, determining who has the best in terms of the table and all of that. Henry, we have
finger
just
tricks.
About we have just about 3 minutes to wrap up. I know you've been here a while. First question: why are you not finding $40,000 for Black Queens to go and play two friendly matches? What's the ministry told you?
And add why those buses for the clubs when you promise them you buy new buses. Two in one.
I wish a friend is saying, I wish Lexus could give up his time. But Henry, quickly, first question, why can't we find the $40,000 to sponsor the Black Queens to go and play their two friendly games? They said they presented a budget, we don't have money.
Who said?
The report. Muftau did a report.
And who presented the budget?
Are you not the people?
Well, what I know is that from the head of the national teams department and deputy general secretary Alex Asante, he gave the ESCO a brief at a previous meeting. We had office from Senegal and is it Tunisia?
Yeah.
They said they will be prepared to play us, you know, in two friendly matches. Initially, we wanted Senegal to come to Ghana, and then we will go there for the fixture. But they are willing to play us both games in.
We're going to continue this conversation on X Spaces on the Joy Sports handle. This we've got a lot of questions. Situa's question is very important. The bus saga, very important. So those of you listening on X Spaces, we'll start another one and continue that conversation. But we have to bring an end to Game Plan itself here on 99.7 FM. It was also live on Hits 103.9 FM. Henry Asante Chum, the GFA's communications director, was kind enough to stop by, and he will stay on for a few more minutes to answer some very critical questions on that X Space.
I will stay.
Yes, I'll make you stay. We have questions. Situa has to moderate that X Space. Listen, so
like me.
Thank you very much. My name is Fentu Henry, Sicho, Daniel, and Muftana Bill Abdullahi. They were here for the show. Up next is BBC World Service, and then Drive Time continues after that.
A nice picture, but not plastic in all trees. And mainly is the chemical aspect of the...